There is a story in The Athletic by Shams Charania running down what it's going to be like for the Rockets this offseason. The most interesting part about the story was reportedly what happened during and after Game 6 against the Golden State Warriors. And in this story, it says Harden and Paul had tense moments with one another throughout Game 6, culminating in a verbal back-and-forth postgame that went into the locker room, according to sources, who said the verbal exchange was about ball distribution throughout Game number 6. By the time the remainder of the locker room was ready to talk, Paul and Harden had gone their separate ways. Paul swiftly made his way to the postgame podium. What do you make of this?
Catfight. I think that I understand it and I get it a little bit. I mean, like, ball distribution in general was kind of an issue in this series, and exactly what, like, how they were running ISO. When did Chris Paul have the ball in his hands? The fact that Chris Paul finally got involved more in Game 6, then I can see why, after like a really, really embarrassing loss, those two had words with each other. I don't read into it any more than that. I think that there are definitely some issues on this team with how are you going to play basketball next year. Because when Chris Paul came here a couple years ago, he was a guy that I think athletically looked a lot more like original Chris Paul, and they could do a lot of the things that he had done with the Clippers, where ISO worked really well, and the Rockets moved towards this isolation game and kind of changed their style of play, and it worked very effectively. Now that Chris Paul is what he is, it's a little bit different, and they're gonna have to figure out a way to make it flow a little bit better if they want to actually really compete with the Golden State Warriors next year. So I think all that frustration bubbles up in a Game 6 loss to a weakened Warriors team, and that's all I read into it. I don't think that those two are like at each other's throats or anything every night.
How do you make it flow better if Paul isn't the same player?
You have to get more ball movement. Like, you have to just run more, like, actually run more actual offense than just sit out there in ISO all the time.
But that works so well for Harden. That's what I keep being told.
But it also worked well for Harden before they did all that, too. You know, like, okay, this has been record-breaking Harden, but is record-breaking Harden, when it gets into the playoff time, what you need? And by the way, you're not going to get it anyway. You know, like, did you get peak Harden performance in the Warriors series?
I don't know if it was peak, but I keep thinking to myself, I think James Harden acquitted himself way better in this series. I think it was more than that, but I actually think he was very good. I genuinely don't think it's his fault. There are some issues I have with James, like some of his plays drive me crazy, like that ridiculous lazy turnover off the inbounds late in Game 6. But by and large, I thought he played really well.
And to piggyback off what Mike is saying, who the hell is Chris Paul to get in a back and forth with James Harden when he only showed up in Game 6?
I'm glad you mentioned that. And I disagree a little bit with that part, although I totally understand what you're saying, because I actually like this. I like the Rockets have two players that really matter. And the way Game 6 ended was something where I want my best players to be arguing. I want there to be legitimate disagreement about, okay, we can't get past these guys. What do we need to do? That actually makes me feel better. I like this.
It's way better than like the war of whispers that you had between Dwight Howard, James Harden, and Chandler Parsons, where after a playoff exit, Chandler Parsons is talking about next year there won't be any secret agendas, and then Dwight's off making fart jokes and James is storming out of the building not talking to anybody. Like, is that what we wanted? Is that productive communication? I think that this is if Harden is a guy who, with Dwight Howard, if anything, I get the sense that both those guys were like unproductively cordial to each other. Like, they never aired it all out. I feel like with Harden and Paul, they probably air it out a lot more. And to a casual bystander, that might look like dysfunction, but is probably more just like the stuff that you do, like when you're Paul, you've gotten in fights on a basketball court before. One with Drew Hodgson,
with former NFL players.
But as far as like, or just think about any time you've been on a team before and you've had, you know, arguments with your best friend, it doesn't mean you don't play video games later. It's just you're having those arguments, you're getting it out. Is it what you write down in your book at the end of your career about the proper way to do things? Probably not, but it just happens.
Here, my question is if it's further than that, though.
Right.
My question is there are incidents where that happens and it is just a one-time thing, but there are also incidents where this has been happening a lot and maybe sometimes it's beneath the surface, but after losing a series, it's all going to come to the top.
Yeah. And that's, like, it's just, I guess that becomes the problem. Like, did DePaul and Harden not talk to each other for 2 months? Then it's an issue.
Only in commercials suits.
if it's the next day and they're like, hey, man, you know, this is just what I was thinking. And then they're like, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Let's go hit up the strip club. And Paul's like, hey, I'm happily married. Those days are past me.
I'm James Cliff Paul now.
James is like, I'm already there, bitches. Yeah.
We're discussing a story in The Athletic on a
Friday.
Excuse
my language, kids. Sorry about that. Don't use that language.
Mike, Seth, and Paul, where Shams Charania wrote that James Harden and Chris Paul had some issues during Game 6 against the Warriors and had a verbal exchange in the locker room after Game 6. Now, Adam Spillane, who at this station has covered the team the most this season, really the last couple of years, he wrote on Twitter that this team, the chemistry, was the best he's seen in a decade. And I tend to trust Adam on that also because I've had other people who are also close to the team tell me the exact same thing, that the chemistry on this team was actually even better than last year's team. Now, you can do with that what it will, but what Adam wrote is something I've heard from other places as well.
This is where I'd go with it, too. I think for people, like, and this is one of those instances where I actually really listen to what national media members are saying because they can be more objective about things. People that had watched Chris Paul play in L.A. and then came here to Houston and saw him play and watched him around shoot around and everything said that they don't remember seeing him this, like, happy and loose. So I think what happened in L.A., because I've read all kinds of things, and I remember Zach Lowe kind of talking around the issue a couple times. It seems like what happened in L.A. was that you had Chris Paul, who's a very hard-driving dude all the time, extremely competitive, wants things done the right way, and he was butting up against guys like Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, who aren't bad dudes at all, but also I don't think they're wired the way Chris Paul is. And also, Chris Paul was the elder guy in that. Well, actually, are he and DeAndre Jordan the same?
Well, Chris has been in the league longer. Yeah, so for our purposes,
he's like
yes.
The more he's the alpha. Yeah. You know, he's the alpha. And I don't think it. I just think the dynamics were all off there. And I don't know how well, you know, maybe Doc Rivers wasn't the right guy to manage all that. Where I think you get here, and for one, James is the alpha. Well, you know, but I think Paul and James. I think it just seems like they have a much more productive relationship and communication than whatever was going on with the Clippers.
I like hearing these kind of arguments, and I'll use a Texans example to further this. If the Texans keep losing to Indianapolis, and you heard things about, you know, Deshaun Watson arguing with Bill O'Brien and Brian Gaine arguing with Bill O'Brien and that sort of thing going on, I'd actually feel good about that. That's the kind of thing that makes me feel like, yeah, if you can't beat an opponent, then I want some sort of healthy tension in the building.
I don't know how much Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith actually argued with each other, and that was a problem.
Because there's that passive aggressiveness which accomplishes nothing.
I think I would suspect that it had almost gotten to a point where, yeah, those two, I would not be surprised if those two just flat out did not have healthy disagreements. Like, instead of having the healthy disagreement, they just had to just kind of grit their teeth and do whatever each other was going to do, whatever they were allowed to do.
So I actually like hearing this, and we'll see what happens over the course of the offseason. There is a really cool football story, and I feel like this is up Seth Payne, this is up Paul's alley, actually. On a Friday, there's going to be a 40-yard dash tournament later this offseason called 40 Yards of Gold. 40 Yards of Gold. Alvin Kamara, Ted Ginn, a lot of players, Tariq Cohen, Robbie Anderson, Mark Ingram, some former players are going to be involved as well.
Ooh, I Andre Johnson out there.
That would be interesting. So,
No.
Probably not these days.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
40 Yards of Gold. So they're going to apparently have offensive and defensive divisions. They're going to have a couple of different rounds of this.
It's going to be like ongoing. It's not just one weekend, right?
Yes. They're going to do, again, multiple rounds of this thing. And I would watch this. I don't know what the TV plan is for this.
I said multiple rounds. Multiple rounds can be on the same day. So, I'm surprised that this many guys got permission to do it.
Alvin Kamara, Ted Ginn, Tariq Cohen, Robbie Anderson, Mark Ingram, Trey Waynes, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Buda Baker, and Kevin Byard.
Because I don't have any issue with guys going out and running a competitive 40-yard dash, but this is the kind of thing that teams typically really don't want their guys to do because... which I never understood because for this, it's non-contact. You're running straight ahead. Guys run full speed all the time in practice, but for whatever reason, teams get real finicky about if you get injured doing something away from the facility. Maybe it's just the optics of it. I wonder how many of these guys pull out.
I do wonder that too.
Who's the favorite in this field?
I did some research into this, and Robbie Anderson for me is the favorite.
Son of a... Robbie Anderson.
I was actually thinking that Kamara would be the favorite, but he only ran like a 4.54. 6 at the combine.
I'd be really surprised if any running back, other than like Chris Johnson in his prime, would be better than a lot of the receivers and defensive backs.
Mark Ingram's a weird one because he's been in the league for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't bet
Mark
on him.
Ingram. Maybe they'll give him a head start.
Maybe.
He'd take up two lanes and take out the people that are next to him.
That's how they should handicap it. The guy who's slower should be allowed to just be Truck the one people. To go. Well, just let him go, and then the faster guy has to go off of his movement. I wonder what they're going to do with the timing, too. Because if they have a gun start, it's not going to be good PR for it, because that takes about, I think that takes like between 0.1 to 0.2 seconds just for the reaction time.
Yeah.
So the 40 times won't be as fast. When you time a 40, when the scouts are doing it, they go off of the runner's movement. So the scout's sitting there and he waits for the runner to go and then hits the watch. So I'm guessing that if you go off of a gun start, like what might look like a 4.3 40 ends up being timed as like a 4.5 40. Sprinters, text in, tell me, 713-572-4610.
I would bet on Robbie Anderson winning this kind of race.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson, who I kind of, I said, whatever, Robbie Anderson, before the Texans played the Jets, and then Robbie Anderson, because he's fast, and that's what fast guys do versus the Texans, Robbie Anderson went off.
He's a mercurial player, but he is a talented player.
One of our listeners really lorded that over me. Really lorded it over
and
me.
It bothered
I can't
you.
Remember who it was. No, it didn't. I owned up to it. But I remember it was like immediately after the game, I was driving to KHOU to do Sports Extra every Sunday night during the season.
Yes.
And like I saw on my Twitter when I pulled in that he'd DM'd me like, hey, I told you so, you stupid bastard.
And you
I was
still
like, yeah, I am. I'm a stupid bastard.
You hold it against Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
Mad Radio on a Friday. We have all your morning headlines. I loved what A.J. Hinch did last night with Corbin Martin, and it sounds like the Texans will not be in the running for Gerald McCoy. We'll tell you why and who is next on a Friday.